Hello, welcome to Football Twaddle. My name is Saru. Wish you a very happy new year. It's like the 14th of the month. I don't know for how long you can keep wishing people happy new year. I guess till you like...
I mean, if it's the first time, you can keep wishing them.
Huh. So then wish all of you listeners a happy new year. Azeem, wish you a happy new year.
Happy New Year, Sarubia, and Happy New Year to the listeners as well.
And I have Jayant with me in the studio. What's up, Jayant?
Happy New Year, Twaddlers. How are you?
Yes, and all of us have to blame Jayant for Australia whacking India black and blue today because Jayant had to Jayant had to get to the recording, so he had to finish his work really soon. So, wait, Jayant, what analytics did you do for India-Australia?
I wasn't working on the match today.
Oh, God. All right, so let's talk about matches which we have seen, right? And just off-air, you were saying that Cheng Tosun has gone from Everton to, like, Crystal Palace.
Oh, January transfer window is up and running.
Is this the news we wait for or what? Why has he gone? Does he play at Everton?
No, see, the thing is that... So, Crystal Palace have a very long injury list now. I think, apart from IU, they don't have any fit strikers. Benteke, Connor Wickham, they're all injured, so...
Hasn't Benteke been injured since 2017 or something?
Since he moved from Liverpool.
He acted injured in Liverpool, so... God, he's been injured for so long.
He's not been injured, he's just been out of form. Like, woefully out of form.
Poor guy, man. I used to actually look forward to him play. He seemed like a sort of a good guy to have in the team and score goals, but... And that's why Crystal Palace bought Cheng Tosun.
Yeah.
Alright. Okay. Any other January transfer window? Azeem, is Chelsea buying anyone in January?
No, I don't think so. We are going for anyone in January. I hope not. Actually, if we do need to go for somebody, it has to be a left back. That's it. I don't think any other signings we need at the moment before the summer transfer window. Of course, we need a lot of infusion in the squad, but not right now.
Is it time to get Nathan Ake back into Chelsea for the 24th time?
No, he did play. He played against Watford. Yeah, he played against Watford, I guess.
Against Watford? And did Chelsea win that game?
Bournemouth.
Ake played against Watford. Yeah, they lost 3-0. I don't think he made much of a difference there. But he did play. And one more transfer has been confirmed. That's Pepe Reina
to
Aston Villa.
Why? What? He's going to save them from relegation.
He's going to win them the EFL Cup. But
Aston Villa has a good keeper, right? They have that Manchester United keeper.
Tom Heaton.
He got injured. No, he's out for the season now. Tom Heaton.
Oh, yeah, that brings to me, talking of injuries, looks like Fabianski is also injured.
He's also out for the season.
Yeah, and West Ham are actually looking at Middlesbrough's goalkeeper because other keeper of West Ham is quite calamity. Dude, the last time I recorded podcast from now, right, we have now David Moyes back. And Ancelotti, so we spoke about it, but
Watford's new manager,
Nigel Pearson
is back. It's like half the teams in the Premier League have changed their managers already.
Arteta, I don't think we spoke about Arteta.
Watford have done it twice in one season.
Watford's already on their third manager.
But that's par for the course for Watford. Like, they do it every season.
Yeah, I mean, that club is, I think it's a very well-run club.
No, super.
What is it? Dude, they're a results-oriented club. You lose 3 games, you're out of this. I think they figured out that managers are not really that good.
Some decent players they have. Doucouré has 2 goals in 2 games. Delefeu, Dini, Roberto Pereira does not have a place in the team. He does not even start for Watford. He came off the bench and scored a worldie.
I think he should also go to Crystal Palace. Alright, Jen, coming to you. Let's talk about this guy called Arteta. How's the revolution going on?
I think the biggest thing is the change in attitude of the players themselves. I think under Emery, they had just lost complete faith. They don't know the system that they were playing. Lots of it was lost in translation. I think with Arteta, he brings a very clear message to the team. Like, players are able to relate to him a lot. A lot of the players who wanted to leave in January under Emery, like Aubameyang, Xhaka, Lacazette.
Xhaka? Why does he want to leave? Didn't he just get a chance like this year?
He was like, apparently his family had moved to Germany. Like, Hertha Berlin, the deal was almost done. And now Arteta is like, you know, I really need you in my team. And like,
he's staying back. And now his family's coming back from Berlin.
Yeah. So I think it's very clear. I mean, he's always been a great reader of the game. We could see that in his playing days. We could see that obviously, like, Pep obviously helped him, you know, with the different tactics and all that. But the only thing that was sort of a question mark was his managerial experience. And I mean, we will only know in time how good a manager he will eventually be, but the initial signs are encouraging. Fitness levels are at an all-time low. I think they're only being able to play well one half in each game. We saw that first half against Chelsea, they were really good. Second half against Leeds, they were really good. The 90-minute performance...
They beat Leeds, right?
They beat Leeds 1-0 again. So they were completely outplayed in the first half. And then he changed the system again. Like, and apparently he was very aggressive, very vocal in the half-time meeting. And again, good to see that from a manager.
Really, I'll tell you a story. When Avram Grant was managing Chelsea, right, after Mourinho left, I think they reached the Champions League final that year. One of the matches they had played so badly, at halftime, Avram Grant was just like quiet. But Chelsea had like enough senior people there. So the people who screamed at the players or at each other, and was Steve Clarke, who was assistant manager then, and Michael Ballack and John Terry. So they basically did the entire half team talk. You play here, you play here, what are we doing? And Avram Grant just stood in the side. And Chelsea go ahead and beat 3-1. So I saw like articles.
That's what you need, no players.
I saw the articles after that. Avram Grant, a good manager. He's letting the players be themselves. And
I think
all of that.
But that's what you need. You need players as leaders. And again, on the Arteta topic, I think you can see David Luiz, the performance levels has just skyrocketed since he's taken a lot of leadership, you know. I think the performances of almost every player has improved. Torreira, he's finally playing in the role that he's supposed to play in, and he's winning everybody. You know, this is the Torreira that we wanted to see, the Torreira that when he plays for Uruguay, he's this guy who people just can't get past, and that is the Torreira we're seeing now for Arsenal.
Is Granit Xhaka still playing?
Yes, he is. So the pivot is Torreira and Xhaka. Interestingly, against United, in order for the fullbacks to bomb on, Xhaka was playing as a false fullback.
What a versatile player! I love him.
No, he's. I mean, he is God talent. You know, why else would Wenger?
Sorry. Yes, Azim.
They have employed an attacker.
Okay.
Kolasinac runs up front to have an to have a forward overload.
Correct.
And for that to cover up, that did against Manchester United. What happened is Daniel James couldn't understand or decide if he should go with Kolasinac or should stay back with Granit Xhaka from pivot would move towards left back.
Correct.
And Kolasinac would bomb that line and go in front and help with the power. So that's how he plays Emery.
That's what he did against against United. But I think he is tactically quite adept. Like even against Leeds United, what was happening was that you know, Leeds were pressing Arsenal a lot. So our backline, I mean Arsenal's backline, was being pushed back a lot. So what he got into the faces of the guys, Kolasinac, Luiz and all, and he said, "I want you to push forward much more, so that the Leeds players are pushed closer to their own goal." So, and then he told a few other tactical changes where he told Kolasinac to move narrower and Reece Nelson to move wider, etc. So that, you know, the
dude,
leads...
all these are tactical instructions.
To be honest,
they
were lucky in the first half, Saruya.
Football is a game of... Arsenal should have beaten Chelsea by that logic. Like, Jorginho was lucky to have stayed on the pitch.
Jorginho is never lucky. He makes his
own
luck.
Yes, yes, yes.
Exactly.
That's true as well. Even Jorginho was lucky to be on the pitch.
Yeah.
On that particular
match. Just saying it's good. I think Arsenal belief is high.
But like Everton's belief is high now after Ancelotti's soothing touch has come in. They're winning matches...
I think a lot of credit needs to go to Duncan Ferguson also. Like, he got the winning mentality back.
Don't get over it. Like, that with a lot of... Why don't you give a lot of credit to Freddie Ljungberg? He managed the club for like three.
Yeah,
so what?
They lost. I mean, no. No, I think, I mean, they were big wins that Duncan Ferguson got. Arsenal won away at West Ham.
Like, yeah. Just because he's tall and big.
No, they won against Chelsea. They won against United. Oh,
we are in a time when anyone can win against Chelsea. Why Azeem? Why can't we just play? Why can't we just play Reece James all the time? He looks like a thug also.
Why you put Azpilicueta then? Azpilicueta has to move to the left, and being club captain, he has to be on the starting on the team sheet. I don't think so.
So put
like I said in the at the starting of the podcast, we need a left back.
But Azpilicueta is decent as a left back. Put him there. He's won the league playing the left back.
He's decent as a left back, but you tell me, you must have seen the game we won 3-0, the Burnley game, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah.
With Reece on the right, just put Azpilicueta at the same position, and you tell me that we are the same team, or we play the same way.
No, it's okay. Like,
the number of crosses James was putting in from the right. How many crosses did you see coming in from the left? Even though we played Azpilicueta on the left, what was Azpilicueta doing on that particular night?
Aspi doesn't do anything, and he still keeps a clean sheet. That's the beauty of Azpilicueta. And he scores
against Ajax.
Yeah, and he scores against Ajax.
Three bonus points, dude.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, come on. How can you say bad things about Azpilicueta?
He did have one assist, I guess.
All right.
He have one assist, if I'm not wrong.
Okay. So who else has the new managers? David Moyes, when he won.
Yeah, and he was very unlucky not to get a point against Sheffield. Sheffield's doing well. The Declan Rice handball was just a complete shambles. I mean, what he said was completely right. He's like, what am I supposed to run with my hands behind my back?
Yes. Yes, Declan. Thanks for learning it now.
it was complete shambles. Like this handball rule is just a complete joke.
Do you believe that?
But then it's the same for everybody, right? It's not only for Declan.
Azeem, is it the same for everybody, or is Liverpool going to win because of VAR?
But it's Liverpool, right? It's Liverpool. So you cannot do anything about
Virgil
it.
Virgil van Dijk.
Yeah. Like, where was Andy Robert? Where was Robertson? Why didn't he get a red card against Spurs?
No, I think the handball rule needs to change. It's different for attackers, and it's different for defenders. So apparently, if it hit the defender's arm like that, it would not have been a handball.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's only if an event leads to a goal.
God, dude, it's so complicated.
Yes.
What is the rule? Basically, if the ball hits the hand, it is not a goal, right?
Yeah, any part of the hand.
That's it.
Yes,
ricochet, apparently.
In any
situation. Which is why the Trent Alexander-Arnold, if you remember City versus Liverpool, again, it clearly hit his arm. It was in the penalty box.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's a defender. So apparently, they just ruled it out.
Nah, that was harsh.
Dude.
I mean, so was Declan Rice.
I think Trent Alexander-Arnold should have given a red card and an
8-match ban.
It hit Declan Rice's arm.
I don't think that was.
And then he travelled a bit with the ball, and then he scored. It's not like the arm, the goal was scored because of the ball hitting his hand. I mean,
but he did get more control on the ball because of the arm. That's true as well. Okay, he could the ball fell right in front of him because of the handball. He wouldn't have fallen there if it wouldn't have hit the hand.
Yeah, see, such things, Declan Rice, is like, if you give it to Tammy Abraham, even if it hits his hand, he'll get confused, like, where the ball is. Like, Tammy needs like 12 chances to like convert one, and
he needs Nick Pope in goal.
Definitely needs Nick Pope in goal.
Calvert-Lewin was given a yellow
for what?
But that was decided.
Calvert-Lewin was given a yellow for diving. I didn't know. I think it was harsh. Okay, the yellow was definitely harsh. Yes, you can probably give handball. That's true. That's correct. But I was trying to hit it with his hand. He was going with his face. It's just that before it touched his arm, and they gave a yellow card. I think the handball rule needs a little bit of a reform.
Yeah, the handball rule definitely. I mean, even if you remember the Gabriel Jesus goal versus Tottenham earlier this season, where Laporte apparently handled the ball.
Yeah.
I think Jesus would have still parted the seas or whatever and scored that goal.
Jesus can do anything. Yeah. All right. So Azeem, are you happy with VAR overall?
I'd say yes. Okay, I'm happy with VAR. There, because I saw two goals disallowed very, very recently. We are talking VAR as a whole, right? Not only in the Premier League, right?
Yeah, sure.
So I just saw two goals disallowed for Barcelona,
which made you so happy that you're okay with it.
It's not for VAR. Yes, sir, very happy. Very, very happy.
But then do you think that...
extremely, and one of them was scored by Messi.
Do you think the other leagues are doing something better than the Premier League then?
It's the second year of VAR.
Yes, 100%. So what, I think the other leagues give the on-field referee a chance to go back on his decision in a manner that he can review his decision on his own with the screen on the side.
So the
I think that's very important.
So Aziz, the
Premier League does not allow that.
They do allow that. The monitors
they don't
are there.
Do it.
The monitors are there in every stadium.
It happened once.
So that's
okay,
not
in the Premier League. It has only happened once.
I know. So it's not like they can't do it. The referees are there. The monitors are there. They should use the monitors.
But why are they not? It's only happened once
in that particular incident,
and that was because I think if you have given that over here also, it's like cricket. The umpire's call is taken into consideration. So only if the referee gives it a penalty, it should be a clear non-penalty for it to be overruled.
So that's
a
only
clear non-penalty.
That's only in penalties. If you see offsides is very clear. Even if it's 1 millimeter or one hair or one like
armpit.
So in that it's very whatever. And you know, I think what needs to happen is even for the offside call, there needs to be some leeway given, and there should be an umpire's call.
They did.
When?
They increased the thickness of the striker's line.
That's a 1 centimeter or something difference.
Dude, that is a good enough thing. How much more leeway do you want?
How much more leeway do you want? It's a centimeter. It's a centimeter. Matlab, the toe which got Sheffield and offside against Man City would not have been there.
So the thing is that, you know, the most important thing to do with an offside call is to pause the frame at the correct moment. If the frame is even one frame forward or one frame at the back, then the offside call, it differs a lot because the speed at which the player is running, suppose he's running at 30 kilometers per hour and the frame is off even by half a centimeter, that makes a big difference to where the other lines are placed. And you will never get the correct frame at which the ball is kicked. And that error judgment is much more than 1 centimeter.
Aren't they taking care of that at least? I think they're taking care of that.
No, you can never get it. You can never get the correct frame. Trust me.
So
I'm speaking from a broadcast point of view. You can never get the correct frame.
How stupid is this? Just get rid of VR.
Because the cameras are not that slow. No, you can't.
But you can't change the bitrate on the camera or something.
I mean, you will never get the exact moment where the ball has been released from the foot.
Okay.
See, so technology is trying. Okay, I think it's why I said that. Okay, I approve of VAR because at least it's trying and it's become better than what it used to be.
Yeah.
Luis Suarez was given an offside where he was onside by a mile. Raheem Sterling was given an offside when he was onside by a mile. Now those decisions wouldn't have happened if we had VAR.
Yeah. Hey,
but
Azim,
now we
sorry.
Do have VAR.
Sorry, one thing. You think Luis Suarez biting a player that goes under VAR review or what is it?
It has to. if given a call now, it has to go under VAR review and it should be banned and should receive retrospective ban after that as well.
What has our game come down to? You can't even bite fellow players.
Excuse me.
You're not dogs on the pitch, okay? You should behave like at least humans there.
All right, and before we have to take a break right now, but you said a player running at 30 kilometers per hour or something, right? I just remembered Zlatan Ibrahimovic over last weekend ran at like 35.5 kilometers.
No, so 30 was a very...
I know, he ran at 35.5 kilometers per hour or something, and that was the fastest recorded by any player in Serie A this season, and our man is 38 years old.
Do you know who's the fastest player in the Premier League?
Adama!
No.
What?
You guys will never believe this. Okay, we'll tell you after the break.
Yeah, even I need
to know. It's not Adama?
Yeah, if it's not Adama.
It's not Adama.
All right, fine. We'll take
Adama's on a motorcycle.
Yeah, we'll take... Oh, God, that'll be so fast. Yeah. All right, we take a break right now after the break. That's the first thing I want to know now. Please stay tuned to Football Total. All right, welcome back to Football Portal. My name is Saru and Jayant is here and also Azeem on the phone. Azeem, what's up?
Hi.
All right. Before the break, Jayant, you said that Adama Traore is not the fastest player in the Premier League. And you said you will tell us a name after the break.
Can we get like two more guesses?
Yeah, yeah, go for it.
Yeah, go for it, Azeem. What are your two guesses?
Okay. Kyle Walker?
No.
Cenk Tosun?
that one was bad. One more, right?
Yeah, okay. One more. You have one more. Oh, even I have one more.
Yeonmin Son.
No. Oh, dude. He's fast, dude. He's lightning quick.
Not the fastest.
It's Jorginho, right? It's Jorginho.
Okay. Time for the answer now.
Yeah, what's the answer?
The answer is... Soyuncu.
The Turkish defender for Leicester.
Yeah, he's the fastest.
What are you saying?
I'm not joking.
Can you throw some light on Soyuncu being the fastest?
Why did he run so fast? Like, he's
why
second
did
back,
he, like,
right?
I don't
what
know.
What was the need for him?
Abhi,
what
do you
was
mean?
The need for him to
he was
run from, that
maybe
fast?
He was out of position.
Yeah, what do you mean, why did he run? What sort of question is this?
No. Like, I want to know what game was this? Was he running back towards somebody, and how did we miss this? And if the commentator also missed it, probably we also
no. It's
that.
obviously
commentators missed it, yeah. Azeem.
So it's recorded at 37.5 kilometers per hour.
Really?
And the second fastest is Shane Long,
the Southampton guy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Dude.
Okay, so we are off by a mile.
Do you have our pacer? Do you have any more names? Like, is Jorginho third?
Jorginho is not in the first top 100, okay?
Dude, he is actually... He's quite quick, fast, please. He changed the game against Arsenal after he came, Azeem.
The third guy is...
I think that was more so because of the formation as well.
Hey, chubbet, just say Jorginho rocks.
Phil Foden is third.
Phil Foden?
Yeah.
What are these names you're telling, dude?
How many games has he played for?
Doesn't matter, Azeem. He ran the fastest.
How does that matter?
How should it matter how many games he played?
And then is Kyle Walker and Bjorn Engels. Aston Villa.
Oh, thank God. At least I got one person in the top five, yeah.
And Adama Traore is not in...
Fifth is Alain Saint-Maximin, the Newcastle.
The Newcastle guy.
Yeah, Saint-Maximin. Good guy. From Nice. He's from Nice.
अबे तो क्या भाग के थोड़ी ना आया न्यूकासल
प्रॉब्लम माइक है हु नो
ऑल राइट
या सो
दैट्स अमेजिंग आई ऑलवेज थॉट इट जस्ट हैड टू बी अडामा ट्रावरे द
या बट आई थिंक इट लुक्स लाइक ही इज फास्टर बिकॉज़ ऑफ ऑल दैट बॉडी मास ऑन हिम
या And it's surprising none of the Manchester United guys are there. Like, I thought Rashi would be...
No, it's, I think even United's fastest player is not Rashford, it's Fred.
Oh, yeah. I saw that. I saw that on Twitter.
Yeah.
Fred is United fastest player.
Even I saw this one.
All right.
I was also a little amazed.
Yeah, but okay, let's talk about Bournemouth. No. Azeem, why is Bournemouth not scoring goals? Why has Callum Wilson not had a
because
shot on target?
Because they haven't got Cenk Tosun.
Yeah. You think Bournemouth needed Cenk Tosun more than Crystal Palace?
I think Bournemouth's chemistry went all askew because of the injuries they had. Okay, they had so many injuries at the same time. They did not have Frazier, they did not have King, they did not have Callum Wilson. They did not have quite a few players at a single point of
but
time.
But they still beat Chelsea.
After that...
How dare you? Get out of this podcast.
Yeah.
Go, kneel down somewhere.
They did beat Chelsea. But I think Chelsea have a weakness for overhead kicks and kicks which are a little... not from the textbook, okay? We concede those kind of goals. Gosling scored that one. Then Johan Bakhsh scored the other one.
Johan Bakhsh.
We have that, okay? That we do. Yes, Johan Bakhsh
goal of the
scored
decade.
Worldie against us.
Yeah, that was such a good goal.
Goal of the decade, I mean, I wouldn't say
I
that.
I support all.
They're only okay, like three.
So goal of this decade?
Yeah, this decade.
Okay, fine, given.
Oh, when did he score first, Jan? Oh, he scored on first, Jan. Do you know Lionel Messi has lesser league goals than Johan Bakhsh in this decade?
Okay, now we can take all the stats we want with this. But I think Bournemouth are not being able to perform because of these injuries that have come in. And all the players have started coming back to the squad. But somehow that spark that was there in Bournemouth at the start of the season when King was scoring freely and Callum Wilson was scoring freely.
Dude,
and they had that good midfield combination and things like those. All of the even Billing was playing a very good game. Playing well, very well up till a point of time for
Bournemouth. Is now 19th.
Went amiss.
Bournemouth is now 19th in table, right? And they are like dangerously.
So why is Eddie Howe still at the helm? I don't understand.
No, I think
people have sacked for worse.
Yeah, but just look at Hasenhüttl at Southampton, for example. If you give a good manager time, back the manager, and they can turn the results around. I think Eddie Howe is a good enough manager to turn the results around. No one knows the club better than Eddie Howe. He's got them up through, I don't know how many divisions.
And he's only 2 points below the...
Yeah, I think Norwich are like almost gone.
Yeah.
And above them, there's Bournemouth,
Aston Villa,
Watford, West Ham.
And Burnley.
Yeah, I think.
And Burnley, Brighton. So you could say, I mean, if he wins two games, he can turn it around. Yeah. Like how with.
Even the next game is very winnable. I think the next game is very important for Eddie Howe. They play Norwich.
Again?
Next five for Bournemouth are very, very winnable games. They have a very good run of fixtures. I think this is where Bournemouth will decide if they are going to stay in the Premier League or get the.
Yeah, you're right. So next three games are Norwich, Brighton, Villa, and then Sheffield.
They're playing
Sheffield and Burnley.
They're playing Arsenal in FA Cup fourth round on Republic Day, if that's of any consolation.
I don't think it's any.
Yeah, so there Bournemouth is not able to score goals, and here Liverpool is just not conceding goals. Dude, what's up with this team? How can you win 61 points?
Out of 63.
It's insane.
And win a Club World Cup.
Club World Cup, though.
No, I mean, you have to factor in the travel.
What travel? To Doha?
Yeah.
You send me to Doha, I'll win the Club World Cup and come back.
Weren't you just in Doha?
No, I was not in Doha. I was in Dubai. Oh. I got the cities wrong. Yeah, but come on. You can't say Club World Cup, but yeah. 61 or 63 points is an...
I mean, you talk about the great teams of historic times.
Of the Liverpool era.
I'm saying even of the Premier League era, like you look at United in 1999-2000, you look at Arsenal's invincible season, you look at City's season when they got like whatever 102 points or 100 points. 100. Or
Chelsea's
4-5 season. Absolutely. I mean, only time will tell how good this Liverpool team actually.
So you know, there's a stat which basically says in 2019, Liverpool has 2.56 points per game. Hmm. For the entire 2019, and that's the second best ever in the Premier League history.
Well, what was the best?
Chelsea 5-6.
Jose Mourinho.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
They had.
But they did break Chelsea's record of I think number of wins. We had 38. Now they have 39.
Dude, but this is.
And I think the all-time record is 47. I think that's held by Arsenal, right?
Who?
49 unbeaten.
Yeah, but dude, this is so if we legitimately spoke about City being one of the greatest Premier League teams, this Liverpool can't be far away, right?
Not at all. They were very unlucky not to win it last season. Like, it was the most points ever by a team coming in runner-up spot.
Yeah.
Yes, 98. They would have won 11 out of the 13 Premier League. From whenever the Premier League started, the Premier League era, I think more than that. They were highly unlucky. Except for one.
They've just continued their good form. City and all the other teams have sort of tailed off.
Is it because of Mane more than anything?
No, I don't think
it's only because of Mane.
It's an entire team thing. Mane gets benched, other people score, Firmino gets benched, Origi scores.
Origi, that guy, whoever he has scored against, those clubs have sacked their managers. Valverde.
Oh, yeah. Barcelona also, no?
Valverde just came under the Origi curse. He's been sacked. Like
Everton also.
I think Origi needs to play every game against Man City. Then,
yeah, like Mourinho's motto in life was to destroy Barcelona as a club and make it seem like a small, petty club. Origi's done it in no time.
From one corner.
From one, yeah. It's amazing, dude. But yeah, even Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain is going to win the Premier League medal.
I think Liverpool are the great side they are because of the dynamic side they have become. If you will see a Liverpool game, Liverpool can change tactics on their own. Right in the middle of the game. They wouldn't even require Klopp to do it. Klopp has already told them that if you feel like it, you can go for it and change tactics. They change tactics in the game. Like if they feel that their midfield is getting overloaded and they are being overrun in the midfield, There would be people who would fall back. There would be Firmino who would fall back. There would be Mane who would fall back. There'd be Salah who would go in centrally and go up front. If you will see, both their fullbacks also keep on changing now. Trent Alexander-Arnold comes to the left and Robertson goes on to the right.
What?
They do that.
Really?
They do that at random. They do that at random. Trent Alexander-Arnold will come to the left and Robertson will go on the right. For a few minutes, it will stay like that. Then again, they will revert back to the same position.
They all understand their roles. They understand their roles really well. Like, I think if you see the fullbacks bombing on a lot, and when that happens, then Henderson and Wijnaldum sit. So I think they all understand the team chemistry, the team ethos. It obviously helps that you have one manager who's been there for a long period of time.
What do you think is Shaqiri's role in the team?
To score against Manchester United.
He
ensures that the hospital is always occupied.
Why is he always injured?
He's not injured.
He's a Romesh Pawar of football.
He just doesn't get into
he
the team.
He came back now. No, he came back now. He was injured.
It's not like he's going to start.
Yeah, he has no place to start, dude. So there's no way on earth Liverpool's going to lose the league
It's done.
Oh. No, that's not happening. League's done.
And Azim, have you also noticed it's from when Arteta has left Manchester City, their defense is back, like, being mean and not conceding goals?
I think that's the Arsenal effect. Whenever you have somebody from Arsenal at any place, the defense is going to be bad. But no, I think Arsenal themselves have improved in defense. And I don't think Man City have improved in defense. And they did concede against Trezeguet scored.
Rashford also scored.
Dude, if you score six against them and then you concede a penalty, it's all right.
Okay, but it's still not a clean sheet. Okay, if you want to say that they started playing better once Arteta
and
left,
excuse me, didn't they lose to Wolves after Arteta left?
That's because Wolves is ruled by Adama. We are in the Adama
land,
guys.
That's because Traore was on a motorcycle.
Edison was trying to catch him on a
exactly.
Moped.
Oh, did you read this rumor? John Stones is ready to follow Mikel Arteta to Arsenal.
I don't think that's a bad. I mean. John Stones is a decent defender. I mean, decent.
He was.
Did you read that Pope tweet? If I'm not mistaken, Jayant, did you read that one? The 50 goal one. It's not 40, but it's 50.
What is this? I didn't understand.
They played against.
FA Cup tweet. The FA Cup tweet, right?
Yeah. Nottingham Forest. They played against some side, right?
Yeah.
And the striker had tweeted before the game started that I don't know and. He might be a million times a better player than I am and everything. But I still like to play every game against him and I'd score 40 in a season.
And he scored, right?
And he scored.
Like, no, it's not 40. He scored.
And he tweeted this. I don't think it was just before the game. He tweeted this like many years ago.
2 years ago something he tweeted it.
Like a Jofra Archer tweet.
Jofra Archer. That guy has a tweet for literally everything.
Yeah.
He's like the Donald Trump of cricket. You can just like find a tweet for him. Alright, the last
Simpson.
Thing.
Simpson of cricket.
Alright, the last thing on the podcast. Kun Aguero.
He broke Henry's record.
Man.
Is he better than Henry?
No, never.
Come on. At what point will you? Point will you say Aguero is better than Henry?
I think yes, Aguero is better than Henry.
Dude, like, why can't you just give that man the things he deserves, like appreciation?
I appreciate him. I think he's a very good striker. He's changed his gameplay a lot also. I think when he came, he was a lot of fox in the box. Now you see the thumping goals he scores. Like, it's just, like, crazy. Even this weekend. But, I mean, if you're talking about Manchester City, we have to talk about Kevin De Bruyne. That assist for the second goal.
Sure, but Aguero has been scoring since 2011, dude.
Yeah, but I think KDB
Aguero,
needs a mention.
Aguero, if you see, has more to his game. You see, he can become a target man. He can fall back into midfield and
so can. I mean, Henry started off as a winger.
But can Henry tell you bastard to Pep Guardiola like Aguero does?
No, he cannot.
Henry started off as a winger. Henry, I mean. He played...
Yes, on the left, okay. I don't think he was more of a winger. He was more like a Ronaldo-esque kind of a winger.
Who would
definitely drift in and would want to score with a curler on...
But it's so unfair, right? Like, I mean, at what... Oh, yeah, Henry is so great, but poor Aguero. Like, for him to not even be compared...
Of course he's compared. No, he's in the same bracket. Everyone would say he's definitely in the same bracket.
Definitely.
Some people would put him above. Some people that's a good discussion.
How many goals will Aguero end up with in the Premier? I don't think he's going to go anywhere. He'll probably end with City only.
So he's on 176 or 177.
He's on 177.
Lampard is 178 or something.
Lampard's one ahead of him, and I think Andy Cole is another 10.
Lampard's only one ahead, but I think he'll break that one. So he'll break
Andy Cole also.
Andy Cole, imagine.
So only Shearer and Rooney will ever have more goals.
I think he'll break Rooney and Shearer.
I think he'll break Rooney as well. If he stays at Man City, see, the thing is, at Man City, Pep Guardiola is gonna demand the highest amount of work rate and work ethic from you. Will he be able to put that kind of work?
See, I think he's
every training session at that particular age.
His fitness levels are anyway like going down as well. Like,
who's
Aguero?
Why?
He missed the last 6-7 games.
That was because of injury. Like, you know who's the fitness? You know who's the fittest player in Liverpool?
Milner.
James Milner. Yeah. And with age, he's getting fitter. Right,
the fittest person at Leicester City.
Yeah,
Jamie Vardy.
Like, look at Jamie Vardy. He's becoming a better striker with age. So, and if
we just discussed about Zlatan at running at 30-35 kilometers per hour.
That's because Serie A is that bad.
You read that you have to run at that pace.
Ronaldo.
Dude, what is running at that pace got to do with which league? You run in Mumbai.
It's fitness.
But
you cannot
seriously,
run. 35,
like people in the ISL run faster than that.
Stop right now.
Seriously.
All right. Man, this is like, fine. What are the matches here this weekend? Are there any matches? Why are we even like...
It's Liverpool versus Manchester United this weekend.
Liverpool versus
United.
The only team to have points of Liverpool.
I have a feeling Manchester United is going to win this game, like final or something.
I have a feeling Watford's going to beat Spurs.
Watford will beat. That's not even a big deal. whatever. But Manchester United is going to beat Liverpool.
And I think Klopp will make a statement this time that the last time it was just luck. And he's going to bash United left, right and center.
Really?
Yep.
Man, you don't think Ole is back at the wheel, man. You don't think he's going to take
back at the wheel?
I think the last result is a little bit... they won because of Mata. And because Mata was afforded so much space, Mata was able to find passes at will. Okay, and I don't think Wijnaldum, Henderson or Milner or anybody for that matter in Liverpool is going to give Mata as much space and time on the ball that he's going to be able to find Rashford and Martial at will. I don't think that's happening. That United are good with the forward line, with the forward line having the ball at their feet.
Yeah.
And I don't think that is going to be allowed by Liverpool, because Liverpool will press hard and they are not going to allow Rashford or Martial to run with the ball, or even for that matter Daniel James.
Daniel James doesn't run with the ball anyway, so he'll just run. Yeah, he's never run with the ball. He'll just run. All right. Anyway, thanks a lot, Azeem. That was wonderful.
Fair enough, but it takes some effort.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, Azeem. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Sarubia. Take care.
Bye, Chance. Thanks a lot for coming in.
Thank you.
Let's go grab some dinner now. Alright, okay guys, stay. This was the first episode for this year. Hopefully things will get better with health and with experience, and we will end this year on a high like Liverpool. We should be able to like go on like amazing podcast run with like just killer episodes.
Yeah.
I sure do hope so.
Yes, alright, okay, bye guys.